This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so the topic that I was asked to talk about has something to do with Mesoros HaTorah and Drachim and things of that nature. And I think it's going to be very necessary for us to clarify a topic, something that we think we know what it is, and that's Torah Shebaal Peh. If we tell somebody what's Torah Shebaal Peh, it's very simple. Your current Tanakh is Torah Shebaal Peh, your Oz V'Hadik Gemara is Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's it. And I don't want to say never shall twain meet, but Balakapanim, that's it. To which the question is, okay, so why is that called Torah Shebaal Peh? Because once upon a time, it was not written down, and people taught it orally, but it's been a few thousand years since it's written down. So why is we still called Torah Shebaal Peh? And more important than that, Torah Shebaal Peh, Chazal say, Al pi haTorah zois karasi itchem bris. Based on this Torah, I forged a bris with Klal Yisrael. It says the krisas bris with Klal Yisrael ein bris nichrasa el Torah Shebaal Peh. The bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forged with Torah Shebaal Peh. So would the Torah, so it means the pasuk is not just telling us Shas. It's telling us because it's Torah Shebaal Peh. So now that it's been 2,000 years since, does that mean, why would Chazal choose the term Torah Shebaal Peh to describe something which would eventually become Torah Shebaal Peh, which could become Torah Shebaal Peh? Yes, there's an issur to write it down. Fine. But that issur is pushed away. It can be pushed away. So why would we call that specifically Torah Shebaal Peh? That's a question I really want to deal with. You find also an emphasis in Chazal. It says that Machlokes Hashaila, who's an Amaretz, Kara Krav Leishana, Kara Leishana Vleshimish Tamir Chachamim is called an Amaretz. If you're not Mishan Shachamim, what exactly is the Shimush Tamei Chachamim? Why? What is it referred to? So let's talk about, let's understand what we're talking about. Recorded information can only be done with very specific information, with points of information. There is no chiyus. Lemashal, let's take an example. A musical piece, you can record notes, and the notes will be technically the notes that you're going to sound, and whatever other information you give over. But different people playing different notes, playing different pieces, will give it a different oomph. And that's why it's the same piece played by different professional symphonies will sound different. There are different interpretations of the piece. So that means that there are physical things that are facts, indisputable, and they mean the same always. And then there is the neshama, the life, the feel of something, which really is not tangible and can't be put down in specific detail. That is, it's the difference between the voices of people. Two people can say the same sentence, and it feels different. It means something else. One person always sounds cynical. One person always sounds pleading. One person always sounds mechanical. And all these qualities we talk about. So we have things, facts, and we have understandings, flavors, life. Let's give one more parallel that goes to the heart of Bria Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam in two stages. One stage is he took Vayikach Afram Nadama and he made Adam. That creates the physical body of a human being. It's not different than any animal, biologically compatible, and we can even do transplants. So that's one breed of Adam. It doesn't distinguish Adam from any other animal. We're just another variation of a physical entity that roams the world. Vayipach ba'apav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol breathed into him a neshama. That came mipiv yisbarach kaviyachol. It's described as piv, vayipach, nefichas bepiv. And it is in our nostril and mouths is where the koach achiyus is. So Adam consists of a physical layer and a pnimisik neshama, and Torah consists of the same two. Torah shebiksav is anything that can be put down in words. Now, it's true that what we call the Mishnah and the Gemara once upon a time wasn't that way, but whatever we have, in as much as we have a Gemara or Mishnah that is written down, what's written is written. And that's a fact. And even if a computer will read the Gemara, he's reading the Gemara. That's all there is to it. But the understanding of a Gemara, the exact feel for it is something that's its neshama. And how you give it over, how you say it, is really the Torah Shebaal Peh in it. So Torah Shebaal Peh is not a special section of Torah. It's a dimension of Torah. Once upon a time, to make sure that Torah Shebaal Peh retained that quality, we needed to have, the chatchila was, to have this part of Torah, the Pirush HaMitzvah, that's in the Mishnah and in the Talmud, to have that never written down. That would enhance the fact that it would be something which we would always preserve that Baal Peh. Now that we have the Mishnah and the Gemara written down, and the Shacharich written down, the Torah Shebaal Peh is the explanation thereof. It's the unwritten way in which it's conveyed. Now, this is one reason why in Hilchas Talmud Torah you have a lot of discussion of Hilchas Kavod Arav. It's strange. Hilchas Talmud Torah is Hilchas Talmud Torah. Kavod Arav is a different area. Why? And the Shulchan lumps it together, that the Kavod Arav and Talmud Torah as one chelek. The answer is there is no Talmud Torah without a Rav, because I can spit back the words. Today's computers are probably bigger bikkurim than the vast majority of the Chachamim live in Klal Yisrael, but they're dead pieces of metal. There's no halacha coming out of it. There's no halacha can come out of it, because all it is just a piece of metal. Let's point to three different areas where I think this understanding of Torah Shebaal Peh is very relevant. One, the etzem understanding of the Gemara. What's the type of svara we understand with? What type of kasha is a kasha that really should make you rethink the sugya? What type of kasha is a kasha that you say, you know, if you have spare time, we'll look for a teretz? What type of kasha do you defer to Mashiach and say, Mashiach comes, he'll take care of anything, and that's that? There is no answer for that, except through the process of Rav and Talmud. My sense of what's a kasha that should make me rethink the focus of the Gemara is given to me by my Rebbe. Learning my Rebbe and getting a feel. It's like one of the things Bachman sometimes asks, how do you know which Rishna Achim to look at? I struggle to answer because I don't have a formula. I can't reduce it to formula. I know this is the type of thing Mashal will probably ask it or will speak about it. This is what I need to look. How do you know? I don't know. I can't explain that. Why is it that this svara really makes you feel, wow, this is the heart, and some other Rav says not like that? That's the difference. Those differences are valid based on the Gemara's lines of Keshem, Shem, Patsafem, Domus, Deir Sam, Shonos. What's not valid is, I can't start it for myself. I'm trying to latch on to a Mesoris, just like my Tanakh, and now today my Mishnah, my Gemara, are copies of a Tanakh and a Mishnah Gemara that were there, and I'm passing it on. I believe that the understanding that my Rebbe got from his Rebbe, somewhere along the line, there's a core of it, there's a thread of it that goes back to Sinai. It probably changed many times, but it's the same thread. And the reason is because I spent a lot of time with my Rebbe, and now I'm trying to give it over, and hopefully there is some of that chiyus being given over. So one area produces the various different darkei halimut. And as long as they're coming from someone who has that line, it's valid, even if they're very different. Reb Chaim Brisker had five great Talmidim. They were different. The Brisker Rav, the flavor of the Brisker Rav's Torah is very similar to his father. It's different. Reb Elchanan was a Talmud. It's somewhat different. You can see in all of them where they were yonik, what they got from their Rebbe, and you can see how each one expressed uniquely. So there's a sense that my understanding is somewhere along the line, a branch of a branch. Two, a second area that this is very critical is psak halacha. There is no way in which you can have a formula to come up psak halacha. There is almost no clear halacha that doesn't have tons of machlokas. What's the relative weight we give to different shitas? I mean, I can't quantify that, especially since you have many different. What happens if Kivega and the Goyin are different? What happens if Kivega and is different than Ramah? What do I do in all these cases? There's no clear answer, because there'll be many answers. How much weight do I give to a Raya and the Gemara different than a Shita, if I came up with a Raya against it? There are many, many different... How far can I stretch a Raya? Sometimes there's a Raya, like we just learned the Gemara now. Neshon and Madam and Milsa were going to be Mekel and so on. How far do I take a Raya? Sometimes there were certain Mahalkim where the Rayas are interesting, but you can't say it's a knockout Raya, but they still feel it. This is the closest Raya. So, Mahalchim in Psak, that's why the halachas in Choshi Mishpat, where it's so much more vague than other places, you're not allowed to sit in the Torah unless you had Chimush. Unless you sat in the Torah, you watch them in action, you got a sense of what goes on, you got a feel for Psak, and now you're paskening. So in halacha, it's also a very critical piece, because it's the intangible way of how do I weigh shittas, how I machmir, when can I be makel, when can I go out on a limb and be makel. There's just no clear, it cannot be formulated. Third of all, when we're talking about Orchis Chaim, meaning direction in life, the whole, a communal direction in life is a package. what we consider appropriate, what we consider inappropriate, what we consider necessary, what we consider prohibited. So when there's a very clear, clear halacha, then it's something which, okay, there's no two ways about it. But there's so many things in life that are far from that. So again, do I stop here? If I'm starting here, there's no inherent validity to it. So yes, if Marit Asa said that the tzibur should listen, but what we want is somebody taking a certain Torah Shabbal Peh. So the Mashal Chassidus, and again, Chassidus is all split in many groups, but there's a certain chain of, this is our derech, this is our mahalach, and each generation is trying to apply the mahalach to the best of its understanding and intuition. But they're not inventing, they're applying. And it has to be genuine that way. So that's where a third area of crucial area applies to. And that's why there was a reluctance to change things quickly, because we do want to continue the flow. If circumstance, halacha, issues, force, then it's hashkacha. But the tachlis in Torah is to be mamshich, because that's Torah Shebaal Peh. So let's recap, and then we can ask questions, whatever it is. Torah comes in two parts, because Devar Hashem must come in two parts. There is the fact, the technical word that was said, the technical halacha that's written, and the ruach hadvarim, in what spirit was it said? What's the spirit of the halacha? All that goes into how and understanding it. Torah was given both, and the krisas bris, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says Tanakh, there is no krisas bris, because goyim also have it. The reason goyim have it is because anything that can be written in words, you lost it the minute it's written. A goy can have a big Tanakh under his arm, and he has the Tanakh, and he can quote me the pasuk. It's the same pasuk. He can quote me the Gemaras maybe, but he can't give me over the Tama Dava. There's no way that his voice, there's no way his inner voice carries that. So the Krisas Bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's forging a bond with us and Klai Yisrael, and only Klai Yisrael, exists primarily in Torah Shebaal Peh. Once upon a time, the Chelek that we call the Mishnah, the Gemara, is the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that was meant to be given Baal Peh for this reason, to preserve that Ruach HaDvar. It came to an end because Ezlas Hashem, and therefore we wrote it down. But since the Gemara is really how we understand the halacha, the real understanding of the Gemara remains Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, we mapped out three broad areas that this applies to. One, the so-called Derech HaLimud. In other words, how we actually understand the Gemara. And there were many different drachim, but they all are valid if they're seen as a continuation, where somebody, to the best of his abilities, was mamshich the derech from Rabbi Yisrael, and therefore each person HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a different das. As long as what he's trying to shtel tzu is to that, then it's valid. Two, the area of psak halacha, how to pass halacha, and this is why sometimes, unfortunately today with the Google, there's the ability to spit out Piske Halachas as much as you want. It's not the right way to pass Halachas. Forget about the reasons why not, the simple reasons why not. But Pesach Halacha is an approach to Halacha. I once asked, and then I found out somebody had something that happened many years later. Many years ago, I said, if a person were to take a search and find every kula in the book and put it together as the kula book. Would that be a valid halacha sefer? Might be bestseller, but would it be a valid halacha sefer? What happens if somebody has, I know, some neurotic condition, he puts together the chumra book, all chumras in the book together. Would that be a valid halacha sefer? Someone many years ago, two boys, they took this, and the guy showed me there was an app where ask the halacha and you can dial which degree of kula chumra you want. It's a very funny app because you realize at some point it's all, I mean, basically the kula rabbi was Rabbi Susan something or other, and she was an ultra reconstructionist where there wasn't anything you could get her to say is asa. Eating ham on Yom Kippur is perfectly good if you feel good with it. To somebody who's, I know, some let's, I mean, just invented somebody who's like the next Kohen Gadol waiting to come to Beis Hamikdash. He's got this long, crazy beard and payas. Everything's awesome. You know, is it a valid approach or not? The answer is no. Halacha is, you have to judge and develop a halacha, and there's a certain mesoris, and that's why Shimush was so important. You gained a derech in it. And it's a way of weighing shittas, circumstances, and applying it. How much is samech, how much, this is all part of that derech. And finally, the area that's probably most pervasive for us is Orchos Chaim. What, how much apart are we from the Goyim? There are different approaches. There's a total insulation. There is somewhat. There's much less. If it comes from people who were mamshichei mesoris, that's who they were. They were talmid chachamim who learned by talmid chachamim and are trying to do it. There are valid approaches that are different. And Adom Reb Shlomo Frohl Hirsch's approach to Tzanzer Rav's approach, to Sam Silver's approach, to Rabbi Sol Salanter's approach. Very different approaches in interaction. The common denominator is they're all trying to be mamshich a certain Torah Shebal Peh and applying it. So that's just an overview of understanding this part of Torah. It's a very, very important piece of the puzzle to understand because it's so relevant. And it used to be that information wasn't so. Today you can get all the information you want, and b'meila, you can just have a salad of a lot of different things without understanding that the Torah Shebal Peh is how you tofas, how you understand, how you put the pieces together. A few minutes if there are any questions or answers on it, or questions or whatever it is. We have a few minutes left, we could deal with it. Any? Yes?
Can Tanakh be learned in the Derech of Torah Shebal Peh also, or is Tanakh by definition a sterile limud?
Again, the words have to be the words, and they have to mean what they mean. But especially when you get to Nevi'im Rishonim, Nevi'im Achronim, you must have a pirush on it. The Gemara says that when they made Targum on Novi and Subim, there was a tremendous pushback from the Shemayim because the Sodos and Sis. Most of it is Tanakh in general. You could say the words, and the stories are stories. But what the meaning behind it is in Nevi'im Rishonim, where you have the stories mostly. And what does it mean? What happened? Why did it happen? What was going on? We need Chazal to help us with that, or else we really have a problem. And in the Nevi'im Achronim, we need Pirushim because it's not magic. So again, the words have Kedusha as the words. If a person sits and reads, I think the sheet is that you Yotz Tam Torah with that. But having, I remember when I was a young boy, so the holiest of holy magazines and intellectual magazines was the Reader's Digest. We were taught by our teacher that you must read it to be a good citizen, a good whatever you want. I don't know. So I remember we used to get it. That was very, my parents were immigrants, and they were very important to read. And one day, one month, there was an article about the Bible, how wonderful the Bible is. And wow, so proud. You know, we grew up with this hang up about being Jews and, you know, and weird, this and that. And this was before tolerance and all this stuff came into being. They know Jews were Jews and keep your place. And this was, wow, wonderful. and it's written by some rabbi. And then I read it, and it says, you know, the stories are so lifelike and so real. For instance, Esav is this good-natured, kind, little bit, you know, country boy who's always ready to help and good guy and so on and so forth. And Yaakov, this sneaky guy who keeps, you know, he keeps getting the cheating him, getting better deal, this and that. I said, no, he's got a wound. He comes to that. And like, I was kind of shocked. I couldn't figure it out. I was very young. And then I realized the guy must not have Rashi. That's the problem. It's a rabbi without Rashi. So Torah Shebiksav, it just like it says, if somebody goes ayin tachas ayin, is the biggest misnomer, because the word means an eye for an eye. The halacha, if somebody does that, he's machabel and worse. So. Torah Shebiksav comes combined with Torah Shebapeh. It doesn't have meaning, but in as much as the words exist on a piece of paper, they exist on a piece of paper. You know, the diuk on the words is very critical. We must preserve the words back. It wasn't learning Gemara Baal Peh. There was a lot bigger emphasis on Shakem Tari Baal Peh. And a lot of times it's helpful because you get the idea rather than just the words. Torah Shebiksav, you must read the words correctly, letter correct. Yeah, yes. What's your name, if you can be?
Shmuley.
Shmuley, what?
Nidal.
From where?
Went to school in New Jersey at Hay Hall Torah.
Yeah.
Atlanta Beach a little bit.
Yeah.
At what point exactly did the Masorah get messed up to the point where you had people disagreeing on, you know, Perush HaMitzvos?
Okay. Let's start with Chumash. There's a parasha in Torah that says, it is natural. Everything that's there, in Sinai, the Rambam says, we got the mitzvah upirusha. So lemashal, ayin tachas ayin, we got the pirush in Sinai that means you pay for it. But that itself raises many issues in applying it lemaisa. There is nothing frozen that doesn't raise a question applying it lemaisa. So every moment there were always questions coming up. We had a Sanhedrin that every time a question came up, if it got as far as the Sanhedrin, the psak would become Torah forever. And when the Gemara says Hilchos Gemira Law, not Halacha Mishnah, usually that's it's taken to mean that. So the Mesoris was always self-correcting. Once the Beis Hamikdash was Charef, once the Sanhedrin was gone, not the Beis Charef, but the Sanhedrin is the critical piece, we lost that key. We had it with the Chasimas HaTalmud, that most Shittas understand that the Chasimas HaTalmud was like a Bezdin, a Gadol, and therefore whatever was decided by the Gemara remained firm. From that point onwards, it's open for discussion, for legitimate discussion. It's open if people who are really almost understand and want the emes and disagree, there's no way to bring it together until a certain level.
I guess my question is also like, Moshe had my understanding is that Moshe had a perfect understanding of the mitzvos, right? And he was transferring that down. So the Masorah,
once it went one step further, you don't have that perfect sense of understanding. Moshe was a Sfakaya Meira, which means he saw the thing as it is. Every other of us is somewhat flawed, and therefore we naturally see differently. Sanhedrin, the Kaddish Baruch Hu built in Klai Yisrael that the rove deos would give us the answer Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted. So it had to be. Moshe saw everything crystal clear. That's it, punim al punim. That's a clarity that exists with Moshe. Our job is to do the best we can with what he gave us. Yeah. Yes. What's your name?
Joshua Kara, sir.
Where are you from?
Muncie.
Yeah.
How does one I guess, pick the derech that's right for them. Like, here we have a few different ones. How do I figure out which one is good for me? Is it just me feeling, well, I like this one, or is there like some...
Well, the question is, what does like mean? You know, when I like something, what reason do I like it for? I have a friend of mine, he's a Rav in Baltimore, and Rabbi Teichman, Rabbi Hesher Teichman, you know, and he told me there was a young fellow in this, a son of one of the people in Shul who was struggling and kind of disappeared. And then, like a half year later, bumped into him and he said, Chaim Yank, whatever, I don't know, you know, what's doing with you? Where are you? He said, Rabbi, he said, I thought I was off the derech. I realized I'm really modern Orthodox. The picking something because it's easy is not looking for the emes. A person has to say, where do I feel is the emes that fits me? And I'm giving two parameters. If a person says, I like this, this is a very convenient way of life. There's no problem with eating knedlach on Pesach, no problem with eating rice, with rice. You know, we can do rice and knedlach. I don't want to do slichas a whole month. They're makpid not to fast any taneisim because of koch nefesh. To find a derech like that means you're looking for a road in the opposite direction. Not good. On the other hand, if a person just says, well, since we say Reb Chaim Kanievsky is the biggest of the derech, that's my derech, does it fit you? Are you shayach to that? The word best is very distorted when it comes to that. So if I sincerely am looking to do what's right and what's good, and a certain tzibur of Mevakesh Hashem fits, then it fits. That's the only way we can know. So that way, so when you say the word like, if the like is a representation of what you're looking for as a Mevakesh Hashem, then the answer is, yes, that would be the way to go. But if there are other issues buffering it, and that's why a Rebbe figure, a mentor Rebbe, is very important, because someone who knows you, understands you, and can correct and say, you know, this you could be asking a lot more of yourself, or you're just shooting for the stars. It's not where you'll be successful. Having somebody that has the maturity and understanding of you and what's right is very valuable for this. Yeah. Yes. What's your name? So where are you from?
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Ah, just yeah.
The question, I guess, as modern for Bacher, that what exactly does a person, I guess, balance between the downtime that he needs as a person and out of his daily thing? And in a sense, he sort of, it feels like, I guess, a struggle, like. Feels bad that he's not doing a daily seder. But on the other hand, he knows, like in the end, that he needs something before he like explodes.
I think you put it right. It's a person has to be honest with himself, and he knows his limits, and what a person needs to be even keeled and to work effectively is Avodas Hashem. It's just like if a person who has a factory and he's very, you know, kind of hell-bent on making a profit, and he runs the machines as much as he can to turn out as many products as he can, will make a lot of profit, unless he does it to a place where the machines will get destroyed, in which case he's going to have no profit. Person knows himself. If a person knows that, listen, I need this amount of sleep. I need this amount of time to sort of cool down. Then that's Avodas Hashem. Then they will give you schar for that in Lossid level. Especially if a person is very, he's kind of very driven, and it's a desire for him to take the time off, he'll certainly will get schar for that. If he's doing it for the right reason. Yes, what's your name?
Yoni Barish from Detroit. I was wondering, how are we supposed to know how we can best divide up our limud out that in yeshiva we place most of our priority on Gemara, but at times it gets difficult to know how else everything fits in there, how much time we spend on halacha, machshava, musar, all the other siddurim, especially when we're not on a regular yeshiva schedule.
So when in the tkufa that a person is spending in yeshiva, a person should be following the general mahalach of the yeshiva. The breakthrough Gemara is the yesod of everything. Halacha comes from the Gemara. Our understanding of Hashkafas Olam. And it's a very tough. It's the toughest limud to make your own breakthrough on it. Like we saw before, a certain mesorah is about what's a question, what's not a question. Even the skills and the words, it takes a lot to get through with it. And that's why at this time in life, it's generally seen to be the most important piece of the puzzle. It's easier afterwards to accumulate knowledge, to listen to things that are inspiring. It's always a struggle, you know, you have to find time. But you don't need the type of clear mind and sort of focus that making the basic understanding of Gemara, breaking through the basic understanding of Gemara requires. And that's why that's been the focus always. In people learning for a long time, there seems to be a general pattern where a person in his younger, in Bacher years, you tend to learn what we would call more of the lamdas and so on. As you get older, there's a tendency to go towards halacha and things of that nature. And it's seen as sort of once I've established a basic understanding and a basic skill set of being able to work with a sugya, let's now look at halacha. That's a way of branching out. Yeah.
So we're talking about Tarshal Alpes, right? So I'm curious, the rest of that, you know, do you give in the Pesukim exactly the way that they were said were very important? For many people, they didn't necessarily grow up learning anything, and now most of our time is focused on Gemara. I know that, you know, what people would have done had they had, you know, their whole life to learn since the beginning, they would have, you know, built up a certain really good foundation in Torah Shabbat Stav that they could use to, you know, bring up Sukkim and know those kinds of things. I wonder if there's anything that a person should try to, you know, fix that gap now when he's learning Gemara, or just like directly learning how to lane, learning things like that, and trying to memorize Pesukim and things like that, or if he should just leave it the way it is and pick it up as he goes along.
So having a Seder in Chumash, having time put aside to learn Chumash and Rashi, is important. There's a halacha of Shanikir Vechatargum, so, you know, there's halacha. There's a reluctance. Let me explain the reluctance. There's another aspect about Gemara that I didn't mention. I think it's kedai to mention. There's a problem. People that are only Bali Mikra, there's a tendency to sit and to project your own ideas, feelings, and thoughts into the Mikra. Now, if I'm teaching Lahavla Elafalfa does Homer, and I'm a talented lecturer, I can put anything I want into it. It's nobody's business, as long as I'm politically correct and don't insult not Greeks and not men and not women and not kings and not gods. As long as I stick to not insulting anybody, I'm okay. Who cares if that's what Homer meant or not? It really doesn't make any difference, and that's fine. Lahavla Elafalfa Avdolas. If I do it with Torah, I'm taking Torah as Hashem and make it my Torah. I once worked on translating Reb Chaim Shlomo Zishmuzen. I translated Reb Chaim Shlomo Zishmuzen. And because it was in English, so the children know English, but they were very wary of it. So we had to sit with Reb Chaim's children. Every time I translate, I retranslate from the English into Yiddish, because that's language. And they would tell me if they think that's, it was written in Hebrew, it was printed, it was said in Yiddish, written in Hebrew, translated into English, written in Yiddish, so you have to change things. It's to present your ideas, that you can't just translate word for word. So there were differences. And I remember one of my translations, one of Reb Chaim's children, very perceptive, my first cousin now, Reb Avraham Shalevitz, Shlita, was didn't like it. He was a very sharp person. He said, you know, it's a wonderful piece. The only thing we need to do is change the title. We'll call it Aaron Lopiansky Shmuzen, inspired by Reb Chaim. which was, you know, fair. I mean, I thought not. But the point was a good point. The point is well taken. You're putting out my father's, not your stuff. So I think it's something my father said. It's a nice segue to what to say. Is this what the Torah says or not? I once remember when I came to America, but I found there was a sheet, a parsha sheet, a debate between two Orthodox rabbanim and yeshivas in America, it's Israel actually, Israeli, who about Yitzchak and Yaakov, and I went through this whole back and forth about it, and I said not one chazal, not one rishon, nothing. It's like I think Yitzchak was like this, I think he was like that. It was Yitzchak out to get this? What was driving him? Where are you coming from? And so if this is you know story, so fine. So I can take it at the value of these two people, the two intelligent people. They're saying nice things. Do I care what the story is? We're talking about Torah Hashem. So Gemara is solid in the sense you can't say what you want. There's a kasha, there's a teretz. I once was learning with somebody, this person was kind of a reform background, an older person, very intelligent. And he said, you know, the rabbis created a principle. They changed the Torah Hashem. I said, you know who asked that? You know, I said, who raised that issue? I said, you're coming to... I said, the Gemara. And I went to... I said, the Gemara. The Gemara says, how could it be? And I said, you know what the answer is? It can't. That's the bottom line of Gemara. Gemara says, it cannot be. Period. Then the Gemara says, when it can, when it can't be. But I said, it's checkmate. If the rabbis can't do it, then they can't do it. It doesn't start with the rabbis. So the idea of integrity... that I'm not saying my machshavas. I'm trying to understand the Torah. Gemara builds it. Because Gemara, you're always accountable. If it doesn't add up, it's wrong. In Agadah, it's very hard to call a person wrong. I feel this way, he feels that way, she feels that way, the other one feels the other way. We're all good. That's the difference. So the many drachim have to lead, they have to come from one place and lead to a place. And that's why Gemara builds that, and you see it like that. Okay.